This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How self-knowledge improves conflict communication. Know yourself first, and conflict becomes a conversation you can lead. In short, self-awareness in conflict is not a soft skill, it is the foundation everything else rests on. You cannot communicate clearly in conflict if you do not know what is driving your reaction, your triggers, your body signals, and your deepest values are all shaping what you say before you open your mouth. Learn to read yourself first, and you will have the clarity to speak with precision instead of heat. Definition: self-awareness in conflict is the ability to recognize your emotional triggers, physiological stress signals, and habitual response patterns in real time. It gives you the space between what provokes you and what you say, so you can choose your words rather than simply discharge your feelings. I watched a project manager destroy a 2-year working relationship in about 4 minutes. She was smart, experienced, and genuinely well-intentioned. But when a colleague challenged her in front of the team, something shifted. Her voice went flat, her answers became clipped, and slightly contemptuous. She did not raise her voice once. She did not need to. The message was clear: you have crossed a line, and I'm done engaging with you fairly. She had no idea she was doing it. When I spoke with her afterward, she was genuinely confused about why the conversation had gone wrong. That confusion is the problem. Without self-awareness and conflict, you're driving blind, and the people around you can see exactly where you're headed, even when you cannot. Why reading yourself during conflict is so difficult. Here is the hard truth. The moments that most require clear thinking are the exact moments when your brain makes clear thinking hardest to access. When conflict arises, your stress response activates faster than conscious thought. Your heart rate rises. Your breathing shortens. The part of your brain responsible for measured, considered speech begins to yield ground to the part that wants to protect you. Understanding this process, sometimes called an amygdala hijack, explains why smart, capable people say things they regret. The deeper problem is that most of us were never taught to observe ourselves in these moments. We were taught to manage the other person, to stay calm, to listen, to choose our words carefully. All of that matters. But if you do not know what is happening inside you, those external techniques become a thin shell over unexamined pressure. Self-knowledge is built before the conversation begins. You cannot develop it mid-argument. It requires steady, honest observation over time, and that takes a kind of courage most people are reluctant to apply to themselves. What do you need before the process can work? 2 things must be in place before any step-by-step approach to self-awareness becomes useful. The first is honesty, not the performative kind, where you admit small flaws to appear self-aware. Real honesty, the willingness to look at your own patterns without immediately defending yourself. If you approach this process as a way to prove you are already reasonable, you will learn nothing. The second is a habit of reflection after conflict, not just during it. You cannot slow down and observe yourself in the heat of a difficult moment if you have never practiced doing it in quiet. The steps below will give you a system for building that practice, but the system only works if you bring genuine willingness to it. A 6-step process for building self-awareness before and during conflict. Step 1. Map your personal triggers. A trigger is not just a topic that upsets you. It is a specific combination of situation, tone, context, and sometimes the particular person involved. You need to know yours with precision. After any difficult conversation, write down the moment the shift happened, not the whole conversation. Just the specific moment you felt your clarity begin to narrow. What was said? What was the tone? Were you tired or already stressed from something else? Over a few weeks, you will begin to see patterns. Most people have 3 or 4 core triggers, not 20. For example, you might notice that you consistently react when someone questions your competence in front of others, but the same challenge in private barely registers. That distinction matters. It tells you the trigger is not about being questioned. It is about visibility and perceived status. Step 2. Learn your body's early warning signals. Your body tells you conflict is escalating before your mind has processed it. Tension in the jaw. A tightening in the chest. The sudden urge to speak faster or, in some people, to go completely still and quiet. These physical signals are your early warning system. The catch is that most people only notice these signals when they have already passed the point of easy recovery. You need to practice catching them earlier. In the next week, whenever you feel tension rising in any conversation, stop and name what you feel physically: tight chest, shallow breath, heat in the face. Do not analyze yet. Just name it. This practice builds the sensory vocabulary you need to catch the signal in time to use it. Step 3. Identify the value or need being threatened. Every strong emotional reaction in conflict is protecting something. Usually it is a core value: fairness, respect, honesty, competence, belonging. Sometimes it is an unmet need to be heard, to be trusted, to have your contribution recognized. When you can name what is actually under threat, your response changes. Instead of arguing about the surface issue, you can address what genuinely matters to you. If you tend to escalate when you feel disrespected, you can learn to say clearly, "I need to feel that my experience is being taken seriously here." That is far more useful than the clipped answers and hard silences that disrespect usually produces. For a deeper look at how unmet needs fuel escalation, this article on how unmet needs drive team conflict is worth reading. Step 4. Recognize your default conflict pattern. People tend to do one of a handful of things under pressure: they attack, they withdraw, they appease, or they intellectualize. Most of us have a dominant pattern, and most of us believe our pattern is more reasonable than it actually is. Ask yourself honestly when conflict becomes uncomfortable: what do I do? If you intellectualize, you may be using logic to avoid feeling. If you withdraw, you may be protecting yourself at the cost of resolution. If you attack, you may be preventing vulnerability by going on the offensive. None of these patterns are character flaws, but all of them become obstacles to clear communication if they operate unseen. A useful prompt for this step: think of the last conflict that went badly. What did you do in the final 10 minutes of it? That behavior is likely your default. Step 5. Build a pause practice. The pause between feeling and speaking is where self-awareness lives. Without it, your default pattern runs automatically. With it, you have a choice. A pause does not have to be dramatic. It can be as simple as taking one full breath before responding. It can be asking a clarifying question, not because you need the information, but because the act of asking gives you 5 seconds to settle. Some people use a short internal script. What do I actually want from this conversation? That question, asked silently in the moment, has a remarkable ability to cut through reactive noise. If you need a structured approach to staying grounded in tense conversations, the core framework gives you a clear method for exactly this. Step 6. Debrief yourself after every difficult conversation. This is where most of the real learning happens, and it is the step most people skip. After a tense conversation, find 10 minutes to sit with 3 questions. Number 1. At what point did I shift from listening to defending? Number 2. What was I trying to protect? Number 3. What would I say differently with 1 more minute to think? You do not need to share these answers with anyone. This is internal work, but done consistently, it builds a quality of self-knowledge that changes how you enter every future conflict. You start to know your own shape well enough to work with it rather than against it. When your team is struggling collectively, starting a difficult conversation deliberately becomes a much cleaner process once individuals have done this internal work first. Adapting the process for remote and hybrid work. Self-awareness in conflict becomes both more important and more difficult when conversations happen over video or text. You lose the physical presence that helps you read yourself. The distance creates a false sense of safety that can make you sharper in writing than you would ever be face to face. 2 adjustments make a real difference. First, before any difficult video conversation, take 2 minutes to run through steps 1 and 2 above. Name your likely trigger for this particular person and this particular issue. Name the physical sensation that tells you your stress is rising. You're doing preparation that a face-to-face conversation might allow you to do in the moment. Second, give yourself explicit permission to say, "I want to think about that before I respond on a call." In a room together, a thinking pause reads as consideration. On a call, people fill it with anxiety. Name the pause out loud, and it becomes a strength instead of dead air. For teams where conflict is already fracturing collaboration, the deal method for resolving conflict gives the team a shared structure to work within, which reduces the individual pressure on any one person's self-regulation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now back to the article. Where people go wrong with self-reflection. Self-awareness practice has its own set of predictable pitfalls. Here are the three I see most often, and what to do instead. The mistake: waiting until the conflict is at full intensity to start observing yourself. Why it happens. Most people think of self-awareness as something you do during the moment of difficulty, not before it. What to do instead? Build your self-knowledge during calm reflection, so it is available to you under pressure. You cannot install a fire escape during the fire. The mistake: confusing self-awareness with self-criticism. Why it happens. Looking honestly at your patterns can feel like an attack on your character, especially if you were raised in environments where admitting difficulty meant admitting weakness. What to do instead? Approach your patterns with curiosity, not verdict. You are studying your own communication behavior, not judging your worth as a person. The distinction changes everything about what you are able to see. The mistake: using self-awareness as a reason to stay silent rather than speak clearly. Why it happens. Once people identify their triggers, some interpret this as evidence that they should not engage with conflict at all. What to do instead? Knowing your triggers is not a reason to avoid difficult conversations. It is a reason to enter them more prepared. A trigger recognized is a trigger you can work with. For practical guidance on handling conflict when it surfaces inside meetings, this article on managing conflict during meetings addresses that specific challenge directly. If your team experiences sudden emotional escalations that derail conversations entirely, this guide on recognizing amygdala hijack in real time will help you identify what is happening before it consumes the room. Your self-awareness check before a difficult conversation. Use this before any conversation you know will be tense. Run through each point in the 5 minutes before you begin. Number 1. Name your likely trigger. What specifically about this person or this issue tends to shift your clarity? Be precise, not general. Number 2. Check your body right now. Where are you holding tension? Shoulders, jaw, chest. If you are already activated, that matters. Number 3. Identify the value at stake for you. What needs to be respected or protected for this conversation to feel fair to you? Number 4. Know your default pattern. Are you at risk of attacking, withdrawing, appeasing, or intellectualizing? Which direction does pressure take you? Number 5. Set your pause signal. Decide now how you will buy yourself thinking time if the conversation escalates. A breath, a question, a short statement. Give me a moment to consider that. Number 6. Name what you actually want, not what you want to avoid. What outcome, if it happened, would mean this conversation was worth having? This is not a lengthy process. Done with practice, it takes 3 minutes. What it gives you in return is the difference between a conversation you led and one that led you. The ground beneath the conversation. Every communication skill you will ever practice, listening with full attention, speaking without blame, holding ground without aggression, rests on one foundation: knowing who you are when the pressure is on. Self-awareness in conflict is not a finishing touch you add to good communication. It is the soil everything else grows in. The 6 steps in this article are not theory. They are what I have watched transform tense, fractured conversations into ones where something real gets resolved. Start with step 1 this week. Map 1 trigger, just 1, with genuine honesty. See what that knowledge gives you the next time the trigger appears in a conversation. The work compounds. That much I know for certain. Frequently asked questions. What is self-awareness in conflict? Self-awareness in conflict is the ability to recognize your own emotional triggers, physical stress signals, and habitual patterns of response before they take over. It gives you space between stimulus and reaction to choose how you communicate, rather than simply reacting on instinct. How do you build self-awareness for conflict situations? You build self-awareness for conflict by tracking your triggers, naming the physical sensations that precede a reaction, examining the values or needs driving your response, and practicing deliberate pauses before speaking. Doing this consistently after difficult conversations, not just during them, accelerates the process significantly. Why does lack of self-awareness escalate conflict? Without self-awareness, you respond to conflict from your emotional history rather than the present situation. Old patterns, unmet needs, and unexamined assumptions drive your words. The other person experiences your reaction as disproportionate, which raises their defenses and makes resolution far harder to reach. Can self-awareness improve how you listen during a disagreement? Yes, when you're aware of your own internal state, you stop listening to form a rebuttal and start listening to understand. Self-awareness quiets the inner noise enough that you can genuinely attend to the other person, which changes the entire dynamic of the conversation. How does self-knowledge help in high-pressure workplace conflict? Self-knowledge tells you which types of conflict most destabilize you, what your early warning signals are, and which of your own values feel threatened in a given situation. With that knowledge, you can prepare deliberately and communicate with clarity instead of reacting from a place of stress. What is the difference between self-awareness and self-criticism in conflict? Self-awareness is neutral observation. It means noticing your patterns without judging yourself for having them. Self-criticism turns that observation into an attack, which increases anxiety and makes clear communication harder. Effective self-awareness in conflict is curiosity about yourself, not a verdict on your character. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.